the Latin word
means it's coming from Greek-Roman civilization, right?
Logos. Word.
Yes. This is Julius Caesar to us. So, let's bring some messenger from that fellow you believe in, quote-unquote, scientific information, knowledge, whatever, to here. Why? What was the use of that story? You tell me now. Volunteered somehow to tell me the story of that guy. You know why you volunteered? Because that is the last story we're studying, and everybody should have it in mind at least. What was the use of it? The story was a guy came to Omar from Western point of view, means your point of view, or my point of view, this culture's point of view. He came to a guy, to Omar. Well, the thing happened. We know that this was a made-up story. Really, Julius Caesar, as far as I know, never sent a guy to Omar, okay? It's a made-up story. We call it fiction. This fiction is made to relay something from Rumi to us. It has nothing to do with Islam or Umar or whatever. The story was here to explain something. What was that?
Not sure I can put it into.
Doesn't matter. Talk about it. What did it give to you? When you remember it, what is it that is, oh yes, this, oh that? What was all about?
He came to someone who was both, you know, in charge, the caliph, and he expected perhaps that there would be something grand, a place that was grand for him to live in and so forth. And he didn't find that. I mean, what he found was the nature of the person.
Lovely. Yes.
The nature.
No, it's enough to remember. You see? One point, that was the first point. Rumi said something about that. That thing happened. Why? In the story, that thing happened, so I can tell you that, listen, if you want to understand this material explained here, you should change your expectation. The first problem is your expectation. You expect something to be very grandiose here. Because grandiose comes in terms of quantities. Here we talk about quality. We talk about enlightened heart. That was the first thing from this. Because it's all about that. You are coming to study this, but you have an attitude. You have to change that attitude. Your attitude is, first, your expectation is materialistic. Here we don't have that. Second thing, you are used to something, I prefer to call it here, black and white. You believe in wrong and right, this or that. And that, I'm sorry, that will stop you to understand the special cases we are going to present to you. Our cases are especially made to be what? This and that. Because we do not recognize this without that, or that without this. That's how it goes, right? When I say a lover, what do you think? Could you think about the lover without the beloved? It doesn't work like that. When I say a lover, means there is a beloved. They're hand in hand. Second attitude. You remember his experience was some sort of fear, behaving, and the passion, both together. Then, the third problem, if you're here to win, sir. You're a winner. Go. We don't believe in winning and lose. That attitude of trying to win. Here, the requirement is a peaceful approach. You remember? First salam, then kalam. We don't argue with each other here. Why we don't argue, Ahmed? How you solve a problem without arguing?
Look, by accepting that there isn't this and that, there isn't right and wrong, there is a mixture of both.
Yes, but really, when it comes to doing it, how should I do that? And why should I do that? Because I know if one side is declared and clarified, then I understand it. The example, love. We cannot argue about love. And love is not provable. So we can, if somebody will say, I'm in love, we cannot say, When somebody says, I don't know what love is, could you say no? Then you should know the opposite of it. And that's the, one of the best questions. What's the opposite of love? You tell me. Opposite of love?
Numbness.
What?
Numbness.
I believe numbness is one of the side effects of love. We will come to that. Right? Numbness is really one of those feelings, yes?
Well, Nicholson translates it as love and awe are contrary to each other. He saw these two contraries united in his heart.
Yes, but I was talking about the opposite of love. That's the question. You.
The opposite of love.
It's so simple. Yes, there is. It's non-love. Love has no opposite. You could make it up by non-love as a semantic argument, but love has no opposite. All the adjectives you bring out, first of all, mostly they belong to the animal. The hatred and that kind of stuff has nothing to do with love. It's not the case that you love someone or you hate someone. There are a lot of people that are indifferent about it. There is no case of, because I don't love them, I hate them. Love is that strange stuff with no opposite. Therefore, it's very difficult to understand. Rumi will talk about it in book 4 and 5 and say, you will understand everything by the opposite. But there are things that I have no opposite. Mainly he will say half. Half has no opposite. That's why you cannot understand it with this kind of opposite understanding. Anyhow, he said, first salam, then, okay, then maybe you're ready to hear the message, because this is a messenger, right? This Omar guy is supposed to have the message. Did he hand it to the guy? Why? The guy was silly like me. And maybe like you. He had two main questions. How is it done? And why is it done? Do you remember? And as far as you keep some question inside,